right now on VFNT. We're going to continue our final part of our interview with Charles Simpson, a leader in the charismatic renewal movement, talking specifically, great wisdom now, God will use you if you hold on through the storm. Remember, it has nothing to do with your thought life. It has to do with your faith life, holding on that God's taking you through something to use you in the next season. Also, we talk about making Jesus the Lord of your life. And finally, it's been worth this one moment. We're going to talk about things that Charles Simpson learned through all the experience he's gone through. Amazing wisdom nuggets out of the charismatic movement right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Lancaster.
Well, this is the final part of our interview with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the charismatic renewal movement that touched the world. Speaking specifically, this is so important. Who would know better than those that have gone before us? Holding on through life's storms, understanding that God has brought you into this thing. He'll bring you out of it. He's the one that speaks to the storm and causes the wind and the waves to obey. But he's waiting for us. Do we have faith to hold on through the storm? Because he's got something he wants to do in the next season. We'll be talking about Jesus being the Lord of our life. And finally, it's been all worth this, listening to the wisdom that Charles Simpson learned through his experience in walking through and being a part of this major move called the Charismatic Renewal Movement and the discipleship that took place in the context of that.
A lot of things look bad, but they're the birth. You know, birth is a potential death,
right,
for both mother and child. But the Bible says a woman has sorrow in childbirth, but rejoices because a child is born.
Right.
And so I think it's that way. I like Jordan Peterson, the well-known psychologist, psychiatrist, and so forth. He doesn't minimize suffering.
Yeah.
And he talks about how character and good and so forth can come out of it.
Yep.
And I think in the church too often, we've eliminated the cross and made it simply a motivational pattern of life. You'll be better off for being a Christian.
Right.
And we don't understand when somebody goes through real difficulty, if they're a Christian, they must have sinned, you know.
Right.
And that's not true.
It's not true at all. No. In this life, you will go through difficulty.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We like to leave the ugly part out. Now some people are cutting out the whole Old Testament because it's so gory.
Right.
But it's only a physical demonstration of the spiritual war that we're all in and always have been in.
Right, right.
And the spiritual wars kill far more people than anything that happened in the Old Testament.
Right.
But we're a group of people, we don't like the nasty things.
But the reality is that we'll find God in that, and we're willing to go through the storms. I mean, you think about this, and I know we got to take a break, that you know, Paul is in chains in the bottom of a ship. He's the lowest common denominator on this ship, but yet he's the most powerful man on the ship, and he's the one that God's going to use to see that everybody on that ship survives. Storm hits the ship. God speaks to Paul and says, you're going to make it. I got future plans for you. He speaks boldly, and this is somebody they're going to want to kill as soon as they get on the shore. He says, if you stay with the boat, then everybody's going to make it. The boat splatters on the shore, they all make it, and all of a sudden they're going to shoot Paul, right? And they decide not to shoot him. Go collect some firewood. Now, this is the man that just gave them the word to help them survive. And then they have him go collect firewood for him. And then in front of everybody, God lets him get bit by a snake. He's like, come on, can you help me out, God? I'm trying to survive here, and I got a snake by me, right? And so, you know, he was just used by God. They're thinking about shooting him next. And then he had him collect firewood, and then a snake comes out and bites him. And immediately they begin to go, I knew that ministry was bad. I knew that man was bad. He may have got a word right, but he's bad. That snake bite, he's going to die any moment now. Then he doesn't die, and they go, I knew he was good. I knew he was good. And then they take him to the leader, and he prays for the leader. And you can see it was like, You know, if we don't see that reality, we get defeated the moment the storm comes. We get defeated when they put us in a time of bondage where we can't move. You know, we say, well, I can't hear from God now because they got me in the bottom of this situation. And then you finally say, got something going. I gave the word. They heard the prophecy. They listened to it. Here we are safe. And now snakes bit me. I mean, how am I going to get through this thing, right? Instead of realizing that God's going to use, like you said, if it just, you know, God's going to use this if I just hold on through the storm, you know, and look on the other side of this thing.
If we don't cast away our confidence, oof. Hebrews 10:35.
That's so good.
And
are destroyed. Those who throw away their confidence and are destroyed.
They lose their reward.
Yeah. But it's sometimes I remember digging through stuff. I'm looking for my confidence. You say my confidence. I was so confident last week. I don't know what happened, right? And that's just such an important thing. Your confidence is which is your clarity and what's going on, what you're doing, and your God and God, you know, to be able to deliver you through. I just want to talk to you right now. Maybe that's you. I mean, you've been listening to our conversation, but you're thinking, you know, I want to know this God. I want to know this Jesus that they're talking about. That I didn't realize. I've been trying to mentally have gymnastics for God, trying to figure out how to find Him. But the reality is, I just need to accept Him. You know, what I did when the Lord just called me, I just had this hunger for Him all of a sudden, and I just responded to Him. I was on a midnight patrol in law enforcement, going down the road at about two o'clock in the morning, not midnight. And I got this hunger for God just came over me. There was no preachers around me. There was nobody around me. I just had this hunger for God. And I responded to that. I said, I want to know more about God. Maybe that's you right now. You know what you can do? You can realize what we're talking about, this Jesus is for real. The God is for real. God gave His Son because we're sinners, because we make all these mistakes, because we need forgiveness. And right now, you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can join the family that we're talking about, being led by the Lord, the presence of God's Holy Spirit, with Father God as your Father, by just making a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's it. That's what we did. Listen, if you want to do that, I want you to pray with me right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. You can just repeat these words after me, but mean them in your heart. This is the beginning of something in your life. And let me tell you something. God will respond to you. He'll respond to you. Pray with me. Say, Dear Jesus, thank You, Lord, for dying for my sins. Thank You, Lord, for taking my place. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I've done all these bad things, these dark things. I'm broken. Lord, forgive me. I want You to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, come live in my heart. I want to be in Your family. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I pray this prayer in Your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, you made that prayer in faith, praying like I prayed, and it was counted like I had. Guess what? You are moved into the family of God, but that's your first step. It's your first step. Listen, I want you to go to meetmyfather.org. We have some information there for you. We share about our testimonies, but also what to do next. To get connected. Now that you begin to make that journey to God, realize now you got to get connected to His body and you'll find people that love you and support you. God bless. Hey, we're sorry I had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Studies show fewer Americans are reading the Bible. It's predicted by 2040, 2 out of every 3 Americans will have no meaningful connection with the Bible.
To counter that trend, the Institute for Bible Reading is joining with Tyndale House Publishing in Immerse, the Bible Reading Experience, an 8-week reading plan to help people begin engaging regularly with the Bible.
Bible readings are gathered in collections like Immerse, Messiah, with readings from the New Testament, or Immerse, Beginnings, with readings in the Torah. The Immerse Bible text is a single-column format with no chapter or verse numbers, so that readers can read the Bible in the natural literary structure of each book.
It's time to discover the Bible in new ways, to engage with this book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, tell me this, of all your experiences that you went through in regards to discipleship and God, the explosion that you were in and the charismatic renewal movement, what are some things that you learned that you can share with us? I really want to hear a few things.
Well, I thought a little about that, and you could easily write a book on things you learn, and I'm 82, and so it's not just discipling and shepherding and all that, it's life itself.
Okay.
And there are some things I say I've learned, I hope I've learned, but one thing that we all need to know, Jesus commanded certain things. He didn't suggest them, he commanded them. And if you start out to obey his commands, not for salvation, but because he said do it. Salvation comes by faith in him. But to say I've got faith in him, but I don't obey him, I'm not sure that works.
Dead faith.
And so I know in my case, I felt God call me to the ministry against my wishes. My father was a minister. I love my dad. He was a great man. But I never felt like I measured up to that. And for a lot of reasons. Anyway, so okay, I became a minister. I got almost got arrested. I got in a fight that stopped a countywide basketball tournament. I was on the stage because it was the overflow area after I was licensed to be a minister. So it's just a hint as to why I didn't want to be a minister. And that was just one of many reasons, because I wouldn't put up with it. I told my father, I said, if people said to me about me what they say to you, and Dad pastored the same church 35 years, which is a rarity. Dad was a community pastor. Mm-hmm. But I said, if they said to me what some of them say to you, I said, I'd knock all their teeth out. He said, well, you don't know what you would do.
Right.
And he was right, I didn't. But when I finally committed my life to the ministry and walked through my own stuff, I had a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. And I figure I've got just as much to learn right now. Because there are layers and layers and layers of truth in one word. Mm-hmm. And you learned it on one dimension, and you learned it on another dimension.
Right.
So, well, one of the things I learned is nothing becomes real till you try it. Theories don't produce character. Mm-hmm. Theories don't produce triumph. And so I believe God delights more in the mistakes of those who try than the successes of those who don't, or the ideas. Another thing for me is when you get in charge, you think you can change people, but you can't. And so I learned a hard lesson that only the Holy Spirit can change hearts. You should be very careful even about, I'm a pathological advice giver, and people just love it.
Right. I got some advice about that.
I'm the oldest child in the family.
Okay.
And so I got it naturally where I have to take care of the other children.
Right, right, right.
My father told me one time, said, son, leave some problems for God to solve because I have this nature.
Right, right, right.
So I had to learn you don't change people. Mm-hmm. You can love them, but only God can change people. Another thing is that patriarchy is not a pyramid. Mm-hmm. Patriarchy is generational. And it's easy for both those who are in a lineage mm-hmm. and those who are, let's say, over a lineage mm-hmm. to think of it vertically mm. instead of thinking of it horizontally. Mm. And we got accused of a vertical view. We mm-hmm. were a pyramid. Mm-hmm. I drew on a blackboard a horizontal heritage. But people don't see that.
Right.
And be fruitful and multiply is exactly what it is. You have children, they have children, they have children. You're a patriarch, mm-hmm. but it's not a pyramid.
Right.
But people see pyramids, and they're looking for who's in charge. And a lot of people who are intended to take responsibility out there in a generation are still looking at it as a pyramid themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're using so-and-so's name and saying, you know, I'm submitted to him. And so
and
you have
not.
You don't know them.
Right.
And they don't know you.
Right.
So you have to get used to the idea that some people will misuse your name.
Right.
And sometimes you'll misuse it yourself.
Right. Right. Did I say that?
If you're not careful. Oh, me. Another thing that is helpful to know that the aim of discipleship is to mature them to friendship. Mm. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Mm. And my best friends are some of those that I discipled. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at them as my disciples. Mm-hmm. I look at them as my friends. Mm-hmm. And they've taken whatever I taught them places I could never take it.
Right.
One guy's blue-collar guy, he's got disciples in 37 countries.
Wow.
Another guy starts a music company, becomes the biggest in the world. Yeah. I don't, biggest of its kind, mm-hmm. and it's not a pyramid.
Right.
Your prayer is that people you influence are smarter than you are, learn from your mistakes, and take it places you could never take it.
Wow, that's good.
And so I've seen some of that, and I'm grateful to God.
That's good.
The Bible talks about fruit defining us. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I hate to interrupt right in the middle of this interview, but we're going to pick right back up where we left off after this break. Don't forget to comment below. We love hearing from you. See you after the break.
We'll be right back.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I could go on with this, but I think One thing you need to be aware of, that when people disagree with you, they'll attack your motives. They won't attack your processes. Mm-hmm. They'll attack who you are.
Personal attack.
And you have to not get bitter. When that happens, you gotta love them.
Right. Gotta love them anyway.
I didn't have any trouble with that.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah. Those are some things. I think the key thing, real disciples bear fruit. Mm. People that are just into knowledge listen, they become connoisseurs of good sermons, but they never bear fruit themselves. Mm. And that's unfortunate because they have a lot to give.
So is it your fault? Is it the individuals? I'm not looking for a fault, because sometimes you can say, I've poured into their lives, I've done this thing, I shared with them, I've walked this out, but they refuse to. Because it requires that you to lay your life to make a disciple. It's like saying that we're going to have a child. The reason why a lot of people aren't having children today is because they have to give of yourself and commit a lifelong
sacrifice,
lifelong commitment mm-hmm. to this thing called another member of the family.
Right.
So what about the minister, the Christian, who has felt like they've done that, and the person just says, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to have a baby. I'm not going to lay my life down for that. Is it the individual? I mean, it could be everywhere, obviously, but...
Well, I think part of it is the fault of the pulpit, mm-hmm. because we haven't spelled out what is required. Okay. We say, okay, being a Christian requires a certain moral standard, maybe a certain giving standard, mm-hmm. Maybe a certain attendance standard, maybe a certain involvement in committees and programs right. standard, and... all of that. But we don't say, well, if you're a real Christian, you're going to produce another Christian here pretty soon.
Right.
If you don't,
right.
you need to leave the church. Whoa. Well, that would be a terrible thing to say.
Right.
But I'm saying
right.
everything else is part of church membership.
Right.
But that's not.
Right.
Now, you know, we may preach from time to time. We need to lead people to Christ and so forth.
Invite your friends. Invite your relatives.
Right. That's a step forward.
Yeah, right.
But it isn't just yeah. that we get somebody saved.
Right.
Making disciples is a whole nother thing.
Yes.
It's a commitment. It's like having a child.
Yeah.
And it's very much like having a child.
Right.
And you get calls. And you spend mm-hmm. time and all of that. But there are steps, levels of maturity mm-hmm. that one day they're going to have children.
Right.
And they're going to realize you were smarter than they thought you were.
Yeah, right.
And but the thing is, when you get old, mm-hmm. it's your fruit that's going to take care of you.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And that's something young people don't realize. It's right. something a lot of Christians don't realize.
Right.
You see, I'm blessed. I can hardly talk about it because I am reaping from those mm-hmm. that I sowed into, mm-hmm. and I believe in it. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, I don't pastor churches. I love churches. I preach in churches often. Mm-hmm. I pastor people.
Right.
I don't sow into churches. I sow into people.
That's good. Yeah.
And I believe that's what Jesus did. He gave his life for us. Mm. That's church.
Right. That's awesome. That's totally awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking about a moment in history that a lot of people aren't talking to us about to understand. You know, the Hebrews, I believe he says, you know, imitate those that have gone before you. If we don't know what happened, we can't really learn from and walk in it. I believe that a lot of us are going to be a lot wiser and eyes more open and quicker to, I know that Moore writes in his book, you know, if there had been a more pathway for dialogue, there had been some apparatus for dialogue, which you were talking about in regards to this one thing that the traditional church at that time had was systems set up to work things out. And this movement happened outside of that. So there really wasn't anything set up to do that. And then a place for reconciliation and defining what that actually means. So what does the frog and the snake saying, let's reconcile, that's a totally different story, right? But just to understand that, I think we can really grow in wisdom. And I know that I feel, you know, the wiser just listening to you, and I'm grateful for you, and I know that our audience is. I really am, and I'm thankful for you willing to lay down your life and to all this time to this point, and you still continue to do it. That it is a great encourager. So many people are quitting. Some people are just whatever. They just walk away, as if you could walk away. And I'm like, that must mean that how could you walk away from? You just can't walk away.
Well, part of my prayer life is for discouraged pastors. Mm. That are working hard, and they have a small church, and they're not getting remunerated very much, and the onus is on them to make it grow, and maybe they're in a declining community. I mean, there's a lot of issues that a lot of pastors are going through, and I pray for them.
Can you look in this camera right here and talk to that pastor right now? Would you take the moment to do that? He's probably, you know what he's going through. Can you talk to him?
Well, I would say to such a person that you're in the vestibule of a better time. You're in the foyer of a whole new season. And if you can realize that God brings us into valleys so he can show us the mountains, God will help you climb it. And he'll show you something you didn't see. He'll open a door you didn't know was there. And I would encourage you, don't stop. Don't stop. If you're going through a bad place, remember what Churchill said. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going forward and trust God. He knows the way. He didn't call you to misery. He called you to victory. And I pray today that God will raise you up and show you a brand new season.
That's powerful. Well, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful for you and the time, this massive time that you spent with us. I thank you for recommending this book to be able to take a look at what took place. And we're going to make available for you all the publications of all the ever-printed New Wine magazines. It's available on his website. We'll make his website available to you as well. But I just want to tell you, we love hearing from you. Write to us, comment below. We love to hear your comments. It's very encouraging. And we'll respond to you, or the community will respond to you. And let's just pray right now. Father God, we just ask you right now, Father God, that you would supernaturally meet each individual's needs through this entire conversation. I thank you, Lord God, for Brother Charles Simpson, his willingness to just pour his heart out to us, Father God. I pray for each and every one that's listening, they would be inspired and encouraged, Father God, to say yes, to stand up for you. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, we ask you to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.